Beloved congregation of the Lord, when we begin a new year, and this year is only 7 days old so far, then it is a good opportunity to consider and reconsider our commitments. We all have commitments and we all make commitments. Maybe there's a married couple here this morning who had committed that this year we're going to have a regular date night or something similar. And that only a serious illness or an emergency situation would allow us to cancel it. We want to renew our commitment to each other's need for together time, because you know that the Lord is glorified in a strong Christian marriage. Maybe in your families you have renewed your commitment to daily family worship. You've come to realize that because of our extreme busyness, we need to recommit to this. And you've said that every day, at a certain time, at a set time, we, as a married couple or as a family, will gather together for this. Maybe at supper time, reading the scriptures together. Maybe something like Table Talk magazine and singing a psalter together and praying together. And letting nothing interfere, no texting, no phone calls, just family time around the Bible every day, because you know that the Lord your God is glorified in a family that worships Him. Maybe you looked at your business and you needed to recommit yourself to limiting your workload, because you realize your business life is encroaching too much on your family life and on your marriage. So you made a commitment as a business owner to delegate as much as possible, to surround yourself with talented, capable, dependable employees, so that you are freer to be involved in your family and to strengthen your marriage, because you know that the Lord God is glorified when we run our lives to His honor and glory. Maybe you made a commitment individually to live a healthier lifestyle. You resolved to eat healthier foods, to cut back or eliminate even sugar-loaded snacks. You committed to going for a walk by yourself or with somebody else every day if possible. You bought yourself a gym membership and you've set aside a certain amount of time every week, because you know that the Lord is pleased when His people look after His temple, that is, your body. Maybe you committed or recommitted to increasing your involvement in certain organizations or societies. Maybe something like St. Catherine's Right to Life, or We Need a Law, or Community Care, or maybe an outreach like the Niagara Migrant Workers Ministry, or Out of the Heat, or helping the underprivileged in some way in our community. Maybe something as simple as an effort to get to know your neighbor better with the intent of evangelism, beginning with your own neighbor. But this morning I want us to look at us as Christians in a local church community. And I want us to reassess our commitment to our local church. As confessing members, we have certain obligations to our church. As baptized members, our parents have brought us to this church. In the Lord's providence, He brought us into this particular church community. This is the church family that the Lord God has chosen for us. He has brought us here. We are a church family, brought together by the Lord our God. Well, I want to look at that this morning from Psalm 65, verses 1 through 8. Let me just read verse 1 at this time. The text is verses 1 through 8. This is God's word to the chief musician, a psalm and song of David. Praise waits for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. Our theme is praising the God of our salvation. And we want to ask two questions of this text. How do we do that individually, first of all, and then how do we do it corporately? So how do we praise the God of our salvation as individuals? The psalm is a psalm or a song of David. And it is written to the chief musician. He would be the song leader in the Old Testament tabernacle or in the temple. Today, in most churches, this person would be the worship leader. He would choose the songs for the day, suitable for the season, suitable to the text. In Reformed churches, mostly the pastor chooses those songs for the sermon. And Psalm 65, then, if it is to the chief musician, is meant to be sung in the public worship service, as we are doing this morning. Psalters number 166, 168, 170, 171 are all based on Psalm 65. And we're going to sing all four of them. There are more. You can look them up later on. But this psalm begins with, "Praise waits for thee, O God, in Zion." Praise, and in song or adoration or thanksgiving to God, praise awaits you, O God. That praise is silent now, but it is, as it were, waiting to burst forth, as if this person just can't wait to praise God. Praise is due to God. And there's always matter for praising the Lord. When the Lord appears, His people want to praise Him. Praise waits for thee, O God, in Zion. The Hebrew name here for God is Elohim, that refers to His creative power. So this is the God of might and power and strength. Praise is waiting for you, O God, in Zion. Zion is another name for Jerusalem, the city of God, representing the people of God. So it's another name for the church of God. In the Old Testament, the people of God are known as Zion. O God, unto thee shall the vow be performed. Doesn't specify what vow this is. The psalmist has made a vow, and he wants to keep that vow to the Lord. And we make vows too. At the baptism of our children, we make vows. When we make public confession of faith, we make vows. When we get married, we make vows. When we are ordained as office bearers, we make vows. Many kinds of vows, aren't there? And all those vows in the church life are made to the God of the church. It is to Him that we perform our vows. To Him we keep our vows. Not first of all to our spouse or to the church, but to God Almighty. And part of praising the God of our salvation is to keep our vows and not to break them. O thou that hearest prayer. Verse 2. Isn't that a beautiful name for God? O thou who hearest prayer. Beloved, that means God hears our prayers. That's one of His names. So we can be sure when we call upon Him, His ears are in tune to us. And sometimes He answers us favorably. He gives us our requests. And other times He does not. And we do not get what we ask for. But in reality, we will be getting something better. For the Lord's people, God gives us, as one person has said, I don't know where I heard this before, but He gives us what we would have asked for if we really knew what was best for us and what would be most to His glory. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. It's interesting to note that the nation of Israel, David's nation, is never called all flesh. So this is a reference to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. So this verse is fulfilled, beloved, every time one of us comes to God in prayer. Yes, we worship the God of our salvation when we pray. When we acknowledge Him as the one who hears prayer. It's so beneficial for us to pray Scripture back to God, as we do in so many psalms. Why? Because it's true what it says in verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. So there's words and there's matters of iniquity that overwhelm me, that overpower me. Words and acts of iniquity that are too much for me, too powerful for me to handle. Many times iniquity prevails. This is the language of a believer who's fighting iniquity, battling against sin in his life, and it is very powerful. And many times it prevails. But notice that he knows where to take it. We worship, we praise the God of our salvation by acknowledging, confessing our sin. But we do more. Because here the psalmist in the Old Testament already knows the truth of 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousnesses. So he confesses, O Lord God, iniquities prevail against me. And he adds immediately, yet I know, as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Children, the reality in a Christian's life is that there are still many iniquities and transgressions and sins. And it's true that we are no longer under the bondage of sin. We no longer live in sin, but sin still lives in us. And we know it. We also know our God shall purge those sins away. And that word purge means to cover them, to make atonement for them. And how does God do that? How does a holy, righteous God cover our sins and make atonement for them and purge them? There's only one way, and that is through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only His blood can pay the price for sin. Only Christ's blood can cleanse us from all our sins. And we worship, we praise the God of our salvation when we confess our sins and take refuge to the precious blood of Christ, knowing that He will purge them. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and cause us to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Blessed is the man whom God chooses. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. This is that precious doctrine of sovereign election. Foundation of the church. We'll have to hear some more about that this evening. But here you have a beatitude in the Old Testament. Blessed is the man. Truly happy. Genuinely happy and blessed is the man whom God has chosen. Or the woman whom God has chosen. The boy or girl whom God has chosen. Because he realizes God has chosen me. And had my God not chosen me, I would not be one of His. Because in my natural state, I never would have chosen this God to be my God. You know, in a certain sense, God has chosen all of us. Chosen us in a way to set us apart for His service in baptism already. The Lord has come and He said, I choose this one for myself to serve me. But we know baptism doesn't save us. Our text is speaking of the sovereign election to eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ that baptism pictures for us. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. See, our Lord God causes his elect people to approach, to come near to him constantly, just like we are. Not cleaning things up so that we can please him, just coming as sinners into his presence. And yet we realize that in our own sinful selves, we cannot come near to God. And yet here we have in the Old Testament, the psalmist experiencing what James writes about in the New Testament. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You see the blessings, the rich blessings bestowed on believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself chooses them. God himself causes them to approach him. And he wants them to dwell in his courts. He wants us to be in his blessed presence. His courts here refers to the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple later on. In the New Testament, we dwell in his courts in the public worship service. The highlights of the week in the Old Testament believer's life was the Sabbath worship in the temple. There, that Old Testament believer met his God. There, he offered his praise. There, he brought his offerings. And it's the same in the New Testament, isn't it? The highlight of the week in a New Testament believer's life is the public worship on the Lord's Day. Here, we meet our God in Christ Jesus. Here we sing his praises together. Here we hear his word proclaimed to us, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here we offer our gifts to our God. We worship and praise the God of our salvation when we all together acknowledge the blessedness of those whom God has chosen. Those whom God causes to come near to him. Those whom God graciously allows to dwell in his courts. What a blessing. What an awesome privilege it is for an individual believer to worship and praise the Lord, his or her God. Let us as individuals make a renewed commitment to our worship services here where the Lord has placed us. Where we meet our church family every Lord's Day. Where we get to hear of the blessedness of those who are chosen by God in Christ Jesus. Here in this church community where we partake of the sacraments with the Lord's people. Here in this local manifestation of the body of Christ of which we are members. Let us as families never skip church. Why? Why would anyone miss church? Why would anyone miss the means of grace? We all want to be blessed. And we want our children to be happy. And the only way for us and them to be truly blessed and to be truly happy is for the Holy Spirit to bless the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. Let's see what happens. If you choose not to be here under the means of grace, then the Holy Spirit can't bless those means of grace for you here. Let us recommit never to purposely, willingly absent ourselves from the public worship service. I know there are exceptions, of course. People get ill. People are away on vacation sometimes. And even then, seek to praise the God of our salvation where you are. Praising the God of our salvation, not only as individuals, but also corporately. How do we do that corporately? That's our second question. We'll look at that after we sing. How do we worship the God of our salvation corporately? Second part of verse 4 says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And again, for the Old Testament people of the Lord, that would be the temple in Jerusalem. Notice the shift from me in verse 3 to the man in verse 4, and then in the latter part of verse 4 to we and us in verse 5. So now we're talking corporately. We can say congregationally. We're speaking as a church family, God's family, not just private individuals now, not just no longer our little family, but the whole church of God as she gathers together on the Lord's Day and other days. Children, we sometimes call this building God's house. And rightly so. Because when the Lord's people gather here to worship, God is here. And this building is dedicated to His service. The Old Testament, they called the temple the house of God. Daniel does that in Daniel 1 verse 2. But also in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 3 speaks of the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And Peter says judgment must begin at the house of God, not just referring to the people of God, but even the very places where they gather. Here in our text, it says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. We, as a congregation, shall be satisfied. And the idea is of being filled, being full. Filled with the goodness, the beauty, the prosperity of the God's house. What is the goodness of this building? Is it the nice woodwork or the proper lighting or the good sound system? Or what is it actually? What makes this place so satisfying to the souls of the Lord's people? What satisfies us here? What alone can satisfy us here? What truly satisfies your soul on the Lord's Day in the public worship service? It can only be the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed in the Holy Gospel. Dear believer, besides the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, what can satisfy you? What goodness is there in this building to satisfy your soul? Sometimes people think, oh, if only we had more beautiful music, then we would all be satisfied. No, we wouldn't. The most beautiful music won't satisfy everybody. Sometimes people say, if only we had a better preacher, then we would be satisfied. No, you wouldn't. Preachers can't satisfy you either. Some people say, if I had my whole family here, all my children, all my grandchildren, together in this church with us, then I would be satisfied. But you would not. If that would satisfy you, that would be very poor indeed. What does the text say? We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. And Jeremiah puts it this way, my people, says the Lord, shall be satisfied with my goodness. That's what will satisfy the soul of the Lord's people. Zechariah 9 verse 17, how great is his goodness, how great is his beauty. Oh, beloved congregation, the goodness of the house of God, the goodness is God Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. That great goodness of God is displayed in the house of God, revealed in the Savior, the Messiah alone. How great is His beauty. When the Lord says, my goodness, That's just another name for Jesus, the goodness of the Lord. When the Lord's people gather for worship, the only true satisfaction that we have is when the Lord Jesus Christ is set before us in the preaching of the Holy Gospel in all His beauty. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness. You apply that to us here today on the first Lord's Day of the year of our Lord 2018 as members of this church. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, of thy holy temple. For us, that means this local house, this local church, this specific congregation, this church where we gather as God's family every Lord's Day. This is where God wants us to be satisfied with His goodness. And no, it's not perfect. Far from it. And we'll never be fully satisfied here. As long as I am here, and as long as you are here, this will not be perfect satisfaction. But you know something? The Lord dwells here. It is His house. It's not our church. He nourishes us. He feeds our souls with the bread of life in the preaching and in the administration of the sacraments. And as the Lord feeds our souls every Lord's Day and the Lord Jesus Christ becomes more and more precious to us, we desire to worship Him. That's why we come here on the Lord's Day. We don't come here so that we can feel better. We don't come here to be entertained. We don't come here to have our emotions tickled and raised. We don't come to be moved by the music. We don't come to be moved to tears by a preacher. No, we come to worship the Lord our God and praise Him in Christ Jesus. Because we repeat what the psalmist says in Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Verse 5, by terrible things in righteousness thou wilt answer us. The word terrible there comes from the Hebrew root word for fear. And it's not only referring to a shaking in your boots kind of fear. Not a reference here to being terrified of God, though the ungodly should be, and sinners or believers who are backslidden should be terrified of God, should be afraid of God. No, but here that's not the reference here. By awesome things in righteousness, you will answer us. Our text refers to the reverence and the honor and the respect for God Almighty. God will answer us with awesome things in righteousness. When He brings our and His enemies to justice, as we have seen over and over in the book of Revelation, the awesome things in righteousness here refers to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And think about it. What is more awe-inspiring than Christ's righteousness imputed to sinners like us? God answers us. He answers our cries for mercy by the awesome righteousness of Christ. And notice the name that the psalmist uses here. O God of our salvation. O God, it means of our deliverance, of our rescue, of our safety, our victory. The Hebrew word is Yeshua. That's the same root word as Yeshua, which is the name of Joshua, which in the New Testament is the name for Jesus. Jesus, Jehovah, salvation. You say, O God who saves us through Jesus. O God who hears prayer. O God of our salvation. Two beautiful names for the Lord in our text. Names we can plead upon. We shall be satisfied, O God of our salvation, Not just I shall be satisfied, O God of my salvation, but we corporately shall be satisfied with the awesome righteousness of Christ. God answers our greatest need. And unrighteous sinners are declared righteous by God on the basis of Christ's righteousness. O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea. So we go from Old Testament worshipers and include New Testament worshipers. Now we have missionary outreach to the ends of the earth, across the great seas and the distant shores. The Lord our God is a missionary God. He wants us Gentiles and heathens to hear his gospel. He's the God who by his strength sets fast the mountains. He is girded with power. The God of our salvation is the creator of the universe, the ruler over all. He stills the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, the tumult of the people. This is the God who controls the raging storms, not only out in nature, but who can still the storms raging in our troubled hearts. From whatever cause that may be, who says, peace, be still, and the waves become calm. No matter how tumultuous the people may be, he stills them. This is the Almighty God whom we come to worship and to praise. They also who dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. The gospel of Jesus Christ has spread around the whole tumultuous world. People all over the world have heard of him, have become afraid, and millions have come to fear the Lord God uprightly with awe and reverence. You make the outgoings of the morning and the sea and the evening to rejoice. Even nature itself, the morning when the sun rises, rejoices. When the sun sets, nature is rejoicing, but it refers to more than just nature. No matter where you are in the world, no matter what time of day or what time of night, someone, somewhere is rejoicing in the God of our salvation. That's 24/7. From east to west, the God of our salvation is being praised, is being worshipped. Believers all over this world are worshipping this God. As individuals and as families, but especially on the Lord's Day when those individuals gather together as church family and worship the Lord God together. Beloved congregation, as we experience the first Lord's Day of the year of our Lord, 2018, let us renew our commitment to this God of our salvation. And worshiping him here in this local church. In our families, let us make it the top priority to be here every Lord's Day, to be here whenever those doors are opened for worship. Let nothing interfere with our church attendance, also during the week services. We need the means of grace every Lord's Day, because we sin every weekday and every Lord's Day. And again, I said, I know there are exceptions. People are ill. People for various reasons cannot attend. We know that. We know that. That's not always the case. Let us come expectantly under the preaching of the Word of God. Let us come to worship and to praise the God of our salvation, because worship is all about him, all about this God and about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the Holy Spirit. It's not about you feeling better. It's not about me and what we're doing and how we're feeling, but it's all about who God is in Christ Jesus the Lord and what Jesus has done and what Jesus is doing and what he is yet going to do. Focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, that will feed our souls. That will lift our spirits. So let us renew our commitments to our church family, because it is God's family. And let us hold each other accountable for our behavior towards the church, the way we talk about the church and the people in it. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if someone is missing on a regular basis, call that person. And let's make sure everything is okay at his home. Maybe someone is ill, or for some reason or other he couldn't come. But there can be times when there is no excuse. Then let us admonish each other, speaking the truth in love, seeking each other's soul's welfare. And we realize too, don't we, that in order to benefit from the worship on the Lord's Day, we must be prepared for the Lord's Day. And that means during the week, searching the scriptures privately, in Bible studies, listening to sermons, sermon audio or podcasts. That means getting to bed on time on Saturday night, making sure we all have a good sleep so we can get up on time for church. And I know that can be a huge challenge in families with little children. We've been there too. And yet, we can get here on time. And we can come inside here, have a quiet time of preparation with your family in the pew, reading the scripture portion. It's always on the board. It's always in the bulletin. Reading the meditation on the back of the bulletin. Praying for those who are listed in the bulletin. Praying for the Holy Spirit's blessing on the preaching. Praying that we'll be able to concentrate. That's how you prepare for worship. If you take your place here at the last possible moment, then you shouldn't be surprised that sometimes you get nothing out of it because you're not prepared. And parents, we can lead by our example here, can't we? We can lead our children, our teenage children too, to come and sit with us in the pew before church and make sure that we are quietly preparing. Are you committed to your church family? Are you committed to your church worship services? Are you involved in your church family's activities during the week and on the Lord's Day? So many opportunities in Bible studies and prayer meetings and sermon discussions and volunteering in the Niagara Migrant Workers Ministry or other ministries. Some people come here only on Sunday, and the rest of the week they're invisible. But it's just like in your family. You're not just a member of your family one day a week. You're a member of this church family 7 days a week. And yet, we realize that you could be here every single Sunday and never miss a worship service. You can be here for the Bible study and the prayer meeting and volunteering and many things, and your heart might not be in it. And you're just going through the motions. You can do all those things and still be an unbeliever outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we attend, we are constantly in prayer that the Holy Spirit will bless the means of grace, the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments to all of our souls. Many of you have been richly blessed over the years by the ministry of R.C. Sproul. You know that he passed away just a little while ago, about a month ago now, I think. He had a sermon on Hebrews chapter 2 last November. And I want to read the conclusion of his sermon with you, and that will conclude our sermon too. Beloved, he said, if you come to church every Sunday, every single Sunday of your life, and go to Sunday school every single week of your life, you may still be neglecting this great salvation. Is your heart in it? Is your heart in it? That's what I'm asking you. And you know, I can't answer that question for you. You know, if you are neglecting your salvation, you know that. I don't have to tell it to you. I just have to tell you what the consequences are if you continue in that neglect. So I pray with all my heart that God will awaken each of us today to the sweetness, the loveliness, the glory of the gospel declared by Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, our gracious Father, thy word is directing us this morning, O Lord, to praise the God of our salvation as individuals and corporately. Lord God, we acknowledge in many ways we come so far short of this, and yet we know, Lord, by thy grace, we are making beginnings. Lord, we know our satisfaction in the house of the Lord will never be complete here, and yet, Lord, it is there in beginning, in principle, being satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, we pray, bless us richly in this coming year, on the Lord's days, in the worship services, together as families with our children, oh Lord, that we may benefit with eternal benefits. Bless us, cause us to grow in thy grace and knowledge. Be with those, Lord, who are still strangers to grace, strangers to Christ, oh Lord God. Intervene mightily, even this very day, in their souls. Bring thy word home to their hearts. Lord, as we continue this worship service, we pray for our brother Wilf Bout, as he will be giving us an update on the ministry of the Niagara Migrant Workers. Lord, bless him together with his wife and his family in this ministry. Continue to uphold him and encourage him through thy word and spirit and through thy people, encouraging him also. Lord, keep us from sin. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.